Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rocks. Let me take this opportunity to personally welcome you to our church, especially if you are new to The Rocks. You could be anywhere else this morning, but you choose to be here. So thank you so much for that. For those of you joining us online through YouTube or podcast, thanks for joining in as well. I just came back from a three-week holiday to visit Indonesia. My wife's family is from there. My father-in-law has passed away 2 years ago, so it's only my mother-in-law left. And she made me promise when I married my wife, Hulda, that we would go and visit her every year because she doesn't like to travel. So that's what we do every year. The option is either go to Indonesia every year or find a new wife, and it's too difficult to find a new wife. So it's easier to go every year. So that's our pilgrimage every year to go to Indonesia. She comes from Central Java in a city, small city called Purwokerto. So that's where we spent most of our time. And one of the highlights of this trip, this particular trip, is this. We get to visit this awesome palace in Yogyakarta in Central Java. It's built in the 18th century by the first sultan, Sultan Hamengkubuwono I, all right? And this photo is taken by my wife with her trusty iPhone, not Samsung. Samsung can't take that kind of photo. And that's the truth. Okay, just kidding. So this palace was built by the first sultan as his holiday palace for, guess how many wives he had? 40 wives. He built this palace for his 40 wives, and our tour guide told us, legend has it, that in the late afternoon when it was hot, the wives would be swimming in that swimming pool. Now it turned into a pond, but the wives would be swimming in that swimming pool, and the sultan would be looking from the balcony, from the top there, and he would do this. He would throw a bouquet of flower to the wives, and whichever wife gets the flower gets to sleep with the sultan that night. She gets to be the lucky wife. So this morning I bought a bouquet of flower. I'm going to throw it at Hulda tonight and see what happens, all right? That's what I'm going to do. But we are at the end of our message series that we are calling Taking Responsibility for Your Life. And we began this series by asking this very important question. And it's a very simple question, but it's a very profound question. And the question is this: am I taking responsibility for my life? And we pause a little bit and we say, really? The question is important, and the word really at the end is also very important because everybody thinks they're responsible. But the truth is, irresponsibility is hard to see in the mirror. Yeah. Even the most irresponsible person thinks that he or she is very responsible. How is that possible? They would go to that one time when they were responsible for something and they thought to themselves, man, I was so responsible, so I must be a very responsible person, and you don't realize that you're not as responsible as you think. Just because you're responsible at the office, it doesn't mean that you are responsible at home. It doesn't mean that you take responsibility as a husband, as a father, as a wife. You see, everybody has this as a challenge. We all have our blind spot when it comes to irresponsibility, all right? And this is so important because we also learn that our irresponsibility does not exist in isolation. Our irresponsibility eventually becomes someone else's responsibility. You know, you need to know this. You know, you can't say, I can do whatever I want, it's my life. No, people who are connected to you are going to be affected by your irresponsibility. It might be your wife, it might be your husband, it might be your children, it might be your church, it might be your workplace, all right? Our irresponsibility eventually will become someone else's problem, will become someone else's responsibility. When Jaden was young, we tried to teach him from young to be responsible, all right? And one day, I saw a wet towel lying on the floor in his bedroom. And I learned this from Andy Stanley. By the way, if you're a parent of a young child, you might want to do this. You might want to try this at home as well. So I saw a wet towel lying on the floor in Jaden's room. So I called Jaden in. I said, Jaden, come here, come here. And Jaden said, what's up, Dad? Jaden, I want you to ask me to pick up this wet towel and put it in the bathroom properly for you because you are too irresponsible to do it yourself. So Jaden immediately began to pick up the... I said, no, don't touch the towel. I want you to ask me, Dad, can you please help me put the towel properly in the bathroom because I'm too lazy to do it myself. So Jaden, with his head down, Dad, can you help me put the towel in the bathroom? Why, Jaden? Because I'm too lazy to put it myself. Okay, I'll do it. So I pick up the towel, put it in the bathroom properly. I wanted him to know that his irresponsibility would eventually become someone else's responsibility. You know, every time he finished eating and he didn't wash his dishes, I said, Jaden, the dishes are not going to wash themselves. If you leave it in the sink, guess who's going to wash it? Either mommy's going to wash it or daddy's going to wash it. You see, everyone's irresponsibility would eventually become someone else's responsibility. That's not the only reason, though, why you need to be responsible. We also learned this in the first week, that you are happiest and most fulfilled when you are being responsible. And the reason that's the case is because you have been created that way by your Creator God. Especially if you're a theist, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know that you are created in God's image. And God, before He gave you anything else, He gave you a responsibility. He gave Adam and Eve a responsibility before the Ten Commandments, before anything else. That's what He gave us. And that's why, you know, when you've done a good job, you know that you are very happy and you're fulfilled. You feel like happy. You feel satisfied. That's because you are created that way by your Creator. All right? When you are becoming irresponsible, it's going to eat you alive from the inside. You're not going to be happy. It's not just going to affect the people around you, but you are not going to be happy yourself. All right? That's in week one. In week two, we learned that responsibility as well as irresponsibility doesn't yield instant results. You know why? Because the law of sowing and reaping is at work. Okay? You will reap whatever you sow, and you will reap it later and greater. What that means is, even though you do the right thing right now, don't give up. A lot of people give up being responsible because they don't see the result immediately. In the same way, a lot of people continue to be irresponsible because they didn't reap the consequence immediately as well. So they think like, oh, I can get away with this. They didn't realize that their irresponsibility would result in a great harvest that is negative later on in their lives. Let me give you an example. I have a gum disease. Okay? I have a gum disease. And the reason why I have a gum disease and my gum is receding. So if I don't do something, I'm going to lose all my teeth in a matter of a few years, okay? I'm only 52 years old. The reason why my gum is receding, the reason why I have a gum disease is because for, 50 years, I haven't been taking care of my gum, my teeth, really, really well. I have a bad habit when it comes to dental hygiene. And I'm reaping the result right now, you see? When you compare me when I was 12 years old, all right, when I was 6 years old, and compare me with another 6-year-old kid, let's say this kid brushes his teeth every night and takes care of his teeth, and I don't. In the first few years, you won't see the difference, you see? Because this is what is true about irresponsibility and responsibility. It doesn't yield instant results, so continue to be responsible because you're going to reap the harvest later. Stop being irresponsible because eventually you're going to reap it as well. Okay, that's truth number two. And then in week three, we learn that you can't expect God to change what you won't take responsibility for. Okay? A lot of Christians hide behind prayers. A lot of Christians hide behind faith and not wanting to take responsibility for their own lives. I know a lot of you come to church because you're expecting a miracle. You're expecting God to answer your prayer over your relationship, over your finance, you know, over many areas of your life. And the reason why, if I can guess, the reason why you haven't seen any miracle, the reason why God has not answered your prayer is probably because God wants you to take responsibility for your life. You see, it's not that God doesn't answer prayer, but a lot of times the answer is within us. God already gave us the ability, you know, to have whatever it is that we're asking God for. You see, this is something that we need to learn together as well. As a faith community here, come on, you know, don't hide behind our faith. We as Christians, more than anybody, should be the people who take responsibility for our own lives. In the movie Spider-Man, Uncle Ben, before he died, said this, "With great power comes great responsibility." And I think that's an awesome statement, and it's so true. But it is also true that with great responsibility comes great power, isn't it? As you take responsibility for yourself, you would be surprised how much power you have over your life. See, a lot of people, they gave up and they think that, you know, God is against them or whatever, but it's not true. As you take responsibility, you will have, you empower yourself to do what you want to do, to fulfill what God has wanted you to do. So to commemorate this, we've created this awesome sticker. Kenny designed this. With great responsibility comes great power. I have this stuck on my MacBook. It's wonderful. We're going to give every one of you a copy of this sticker. Use it however you want to remind you that with great responsibility comes great power. All right? You can do it because God has given you the ability to do it. Now, as we close our time together, I want to encourage you to continue in this path of being responsible, and I want to take a different angle. All right? And to do this, I'm going to have to bring you all the way back to your childhood. When you were a child, when I was a child, I bet every single one of us at one point or another, maybe before we were 6 years old, before we were 8 years old, we've ever said this phrase at least once. That's not fair. That's not fair. To which every parent in the world reply by saying, life is not fair. That's right. Life is not fair. We know this, right? We know this to be true. But here's the truth about fairness, and I have a confession to make. I only complain about unfairness when I get the smallest piece of the pie, all right? I never complain when I get the bigger piece of the pie. I just thank Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, right? And I suspect that it's the same with you. You're applying for a job. Three other people are applying for the same job. You go home. You hear that you get the job. What do? You go to God and say, God, it's so not fair. Four people wanted this job. How come I got it? It's not fair for the other three. You never say that. Why? Because it's only unfair when you don't get it, right? It's only unfair when you don't get that piece of the pie that you want. Now, why is this important? It's important because unfairness is often the reason or the excuse that we use for our irresponsibility. We think that, you know, I got the short end of the stick, I got the smallest piece of the pie, I got left out, I got forgotten. I mean, you got it easy. You got the car, you got the family, you got the education. So if I'm irresponsible for my life and you have to pick up my slack, that's fine, you know, it's okay, you know, that's fair. Well, maybe that's fair, okay? It will pick up the slack. Your irresponsibility will become our responsibility, and life goes on, and it will happen. But if that's the pathway that you choose, can I encourage you to not do that, to stop doing that? Why? Because, you know, yes, somebody else, they're going to pick up your irresponsibility. But if you continue on this pathway of being irresponsible, it's going to eat you alive from the inside. You're not going to be satisfied with your life. You're going to be so stressed out. A lot of the stresses of life, you think about it, all right? I'm not making a general statement here, but if I can guess again, a lot of the stresses in your life is the result of your own irresponsibility. It's the result of us not taking care of business that we should have taken care of, you see? We cannot make the inequality of life. By the way, when we say things are unfair, What we really mean is this, that things are not equal. But we don't like to say things are not equal because we know things can't be equal in this world. It's better for us to say it's not fair, you know, because then we can wallow in self-pity and say, oh, the reason why I am the way I am is because things are just unfair in this world. Okay? Now, Benjamin Franklin said this, and this is so powerful and so true. He said, he that is good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. Be careful before you make any excuse in your life. If you constantly focus on the unfairness of life, or whatever it is that you're focusing on, instead of focusing on being responsible, you know, you're used to doing that. If you're good at making excuses, you are seldom good at anything else. All right? But this question about unfairness is also true when you are on the other side of the ledger. Maybe you are blessed. Maybe you have it all. Maybe you have the talent. Maybe you have the look. Maybe you have the money. All right? Do you know that, you know, the idea of unfairness sometimes can get to you as well? For those of you who are well off, for those of you who are better off, maybe you think, hey, life is unfair. I happen to get this, so this is my lot in life. I'm going to enjoy it, and I don't care about anybody else because that's their business. I'm going to take care of my business. I work hard for this, and you have to be careful because when you have more, you tend to be also more irresponsible. When you have extra time, when you have extra money, that's when you can be irresponsible for that extra time, for that extra money. Why? Because you got that extra time that you will have to be responsible for. You have that extra money that others don't have that you have to be responsible for. So the question of life is not how we can make things fair in this world. Truth bomb this morning. If you're new to church, all right, maybe you don't know this, but this life is unfair. This world is a sinful world. And the sooner you accept that life is unfair, the better off you will be in this world. Then you will not be focusing so much anymore on the unfairness of life. You just accept it as this is life. Life goes on. I got to move on with this. All right? So the question is not how can we make life fair? The question is this. What am I going to do with the hand that I've been dealt? That's a more important question that all of you need to answer. You know, everything that we talk about, Jesus already talked about 2,000 years ago in the Bible that you have. That's why you got to dust it off and read it from time to time. All right? Jesus, in one of his famous parables, unfortunately, it's called the parable of the talents. When people read the word talents, they think it's singing and dancing, but it's actually not that. It's actually meaning so much more than that. All right? It might include that, but in this story, at least, talent is a sum of money, all right? And Jesus, being the Son of God, he came to our world to reveal the kingdom of God to us, the kingdom of God that is invisible, okay? The kingdom of God that is present in our world, the kingdom of God that is to come later on in life as well. And we can't have a good grasp of this because we're not God. That's why God sent Jesus to tell us, hey, this is God's perspective on life. This is how God view our puny little life. And God says, here's how it's supposed to work. All right? And this is God's view on your life and on my life and how we should be responsible for our lives. So if you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25? And we're going to be reading from verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. Ready? Again, because Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. It's not fair they got different amounts, but it says each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. I have here all the different bags of gold. All right, Erica, can you help? Thank you. So to one, this master gave 5 bags of gold. Now, depending on which commentator you read, 5 bags of gold is roughly the equivalent of 50 years worth of salary. 50 years worth salary. So if, let's say average salary, 50,000 a year. So 50,000 times 50, that's 2.5 million, all right, that he entrusted to one servant. The other, 2 bags of gold, roughly equivalent of 20 years worth of salary, or about $1 million. And to the last one, he gave 1 bag of gold, still a lot of money, about $500,000. All right? And the story continues. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, which in the Bible, a long time means a lifetime. So after this lifetime is over, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. What that means is the master is demanding accountability for the talents that he has entrusted to them. A lot of Christians don't get this, all right? You think just because salvation is by grace through faith alone. By the way, if you're not a Christian, let me tell you the good news. The good news is eternal life is a gift from God. It really is. It's not something that you can work for. It's something that you deserve. It's not something that you get by being in church or by reading your Bible or by giving money. None of that, because none of us will be that good, all right? We will always fall short of the standard that God has set, which is perfection. God is a holy God. So this parable is not about salvation, because otherwise you will read it wrongly. You think that when I'm responsible, I get to go to heaven when I die. It's not about this at all right? Jesus is talking about responsibility. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. That's the good news for everyone. I mean, you don't have to get your life together before you can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your free gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me, and you will receive eternal life. No strings attached, no questions asked, all right? Salvation is purely by the grace of God alone. That's why we call it good news. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserves it. And yet God, in His kindness, in His mercy, in His grace, gave His Son, who died on the cross, to pay for the penalty of sins that we cannot pay on our own. You see, that's the good news. But even though salvation is only by grace through faith, remember this, God will still demand accountability from you and from me for every talent, for every time, every opportunity, every money that He has entrusted you. He's going to demand accountability, not to determine your eternal destiny, because that's already determined, but to determine your reward in heaven. All right? Now, the story continues. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. By the way, this servant understood that it is just a stewardship. It's not his bags of gold. You see, it's just entrusted to him. Do you understand that? Everything that you own comes from God. They're entrusted to you. They don't really belong to you, all right? You got to be a good steward of what God has entrusted to you. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. Like the servant with the 5 bags of gold, he was so excited. He was so happy to see his master. See, that's the truth about responsibility. You know, you are most fulfilled and you are happiest when you are responsible. You're not going to be afraid to die because you're going to be looking forward to see your master face to face and say, God, see what I've done with what you have entrusted me. You see, you know, that's why it pays to be responsible. And he was so excited to see his master. And the master replied with the same reply, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Again, if this were a movie, the soundtrack would change from happy to like, because guess what? The servant with the one bag of gold came, and this is what he said. The man who had received one bag of gold came, "Master," he said, I knew it, that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. In other words, you are unfair. Number one, you only gave me one bag of gold. Number two, this is only for your own gain. It's none of it is for us. So he was complaining to his master. "So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Here, take it." And the master was so upset with him, his master replied, "You wicked," wicked actually means worthless, right? He's worthless because he didn't do anything. "You're worthless, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. At the very least, if you are responsible, if you're not lazy," see, that's the thing with unfairness. Unfairness, if you think that life is unfair, it can make you lazy. Do you know that? You're like, "Oh man, if I have what he has, maybe I will work as hard, but no, I don't have it." So as if like you are allowed to be lazy because you don't have as much as other people. And that's what this servant is doing. But the master said, "You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. That's the very least that you could do if you had not been lazy. But you focus so much on unfairness that you couldn't even think through clearly enough to do this simple thing." That's the problem. When you focus on unfairness, you can't focus on anything else. And Benjamin Franklin is right. He that is good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. And this is the twist at the end of the story. The master said, "Take the bag of gold from him and give it to whom? To the one who has 10 bags. Why not to the one who has 4 bags?" Right? So a bit more equal. I mean, he already had 10 bags. Why not give it to the second servant who was also just as faithful? Do you know the answer to that question? I don't know, because life is unfair like that. I'm not God. You're not God. You know, if we start questioning every decision that God makes, if we start questioning everything there is to question about life, man, I'm telling you, you're going to be so miserable. All right, just accept it. Life is unfair. And then this is what he said, "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." You see, you need to prove that you are responsible with whatever amount of talent that God has entrusted you with, whether it's one, whether it's two, whether it's five. See, this is the truth of the point of the parable, I believe. The point of the parable is this. Everybody gets an uneven amount of opportunity. Everybody gets an uneven amount of time. I don't know why some people die young. I don't know why some people live to their old age. All right? It's not always because you're responsible in taking care of your health. That's part of it. Okay? I don't know why some people are born wealthy. Some people are born poor. I don't know why you guys get to live in this lucky country, Australia. This is Australia Day. Okay? We are blessed as a nation. Why weren't you born in some poor country somewhere in China or in Africa or India or somewhere? Why not? I don't know. All right? Everybody gets an uneven amount of money, uneven amount of time, uneven amount of opportunity. And here's the other important truth. But everybody gets held accountable for what they do with it. Yeah. Everybody gets held accountable for what they do with it. You know, we all know, maybe some of you here, you only have one talent, all right? You don't have much going in your life, okay? You were born in a dysfunctional family. You didn't get the right education. You always had it tough in life. It wasn't served to you on a silver platter. And life has been really, really tough for you, all right? Don't question the toughness of life. Again, this is a sinful world, unfair world that we live in. But ask yourself, what do I do with what has been entrusted to me? During the holiday, I was introduced to this guy, my friend. He's a cyclist, a semi-professional cyclist, and he introduced me to this guy called M. Fadley, right? He was a motorbike racer. He competed in Moto2, and in 2015, he competed in this race, and he won, right? He finished the race. That's the blurry snapshot of the video of the accident that he was about to have. So he finished first. As he was celebrating, the rider behind him didn't see him, and he crashed onto him, broke one of his legs, and his leg has got to be amputated. And what do you do with it, right? When your hope and your dream is just dashed like that because of someone else's irresponsibility. Some of you right now, you are still suffering from the irresponsibility of other people. Maybe your parents abused you when you were young. And you use that as an excuse all the time, every single time. I'm not at all making light of what happened to you. I'm not doing that to you, okay? I know better than that. But at the same time, you gotta stop making other people's irresponsibility as an excuse for you not to get on with your life. And what this guy did, even though his hopes and dreams are dashed because he lost one of his legs, he didn't give up. See, he said to himself, I can't race anymore on motorcycle, but with his prosthetic leg, he said, I can race on a bicycle. So last year, in the 2018 Paralympic, he represents Indonesia, and he won 3 medals, right? This is him. And that's in 2018, I'm sorry. In 2019, he competed in the Asian Championship, once in Malaysia, or the other one in Korea, and he won gold in both races. Even though he only practiced for 2 years, the rest of the Paralympic athlete, they practiced for years and years and years. He was so talented, and he's going to compete in the World Championship, I think, this year. And he received a lot of money from the Indonesian government, he told me, because of the gold medals that he won for the country. That's what he did with his one talent. Some of us, we also know people with 5 talents, right? People who have it all. They seem to have it easy. They go to the right school. You know, they are related to the right people. They won the lottery. They married right. And everything seems to be easy for them. And they're handsome. They're good looking. They got the abs. We hate them. All right? We know people like that. Some of you here are like that. All right? Now, you have no excuse as well. In fact, more than people with 2 and 1 talent, you have a bigger responsibility to know to do the right thing with what has been entrusted to you. Like this guy. His name is Tom Monahan. He's the founder and owner of Domino's Pizza. He read a book 1 year by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to read that book. Mere Christianity. And reading that book, he realized that he was a very, very prideful man. Right, he owned a lot of toys. He owned, classic cars, boats, helicopter, you name it, private jet. He owned everything. And reading C.S. Lewis' book, he sold Domino's for close to $1 billion. And get this, he gave all the money away. Not 50%, not 60%, not 80%. He gave all of it away. It says here, dedicating his life to giving away everything he has in order to help as many people as possible to know Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you here, you only have 2 talents. But again, the question is, it's not the amount of talent that you have. It's what you do with what you have that is very, very important. So I want to encourage you to take a look in the mirror, all right? Because irresponsibility is very difficult to see in the mirror. Ask yourself, am I taking responsibility for my life really? Am I taking responsibility for my life really? Don't trust yourself. Look at the different aspects of your life at home, at work, at church. Have you been a responsible follower of Jesus Christ? Have you been a responsible husband? Have you been a responsible father or mother? Have you been a responsible worker in the office? Have you been a responsible student? All right? Take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I taking responsibility for my life? I want to invite the band to come in and sing this classic song by Michael Jackson called Man in the Mirror. For those of you who are wondering, why do you sing Michael Jackson in church? Let me tell you why. Because to God, there's no separation between what is sacred and what is secular. To God, everything is precious, right? Don't divide your life into your Sunday life and into your weekday life. Life doesn't work like that, all right? There are a lot of good non-Christian books out there. There are a lot of crappy Christian books out there as well. You gotta use your judgment.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.